I brought something to show you guys, and it's part of my introduction. This is a toolbox, and I know you guys know that. This one's a fishing tackle, but my grandfather, by default, because both my grandfathers died when I was around 16, Penny's grandfather gave this to me, this man, Frank Whitlock. And inside this are all the things he used. Now, you might open it up and see there's some normal stuff in there, but Frank had this uncanny capability to take duct tape and wire and build anything. I have tools in here where he'd take screwdrivers and he would get them hot and bend them so I could reach certain places. And I mean, there's things in there you'll never see at Sears because that's kind of who Frank was. Why I brought that is today we're going to talk about something Kyle kind of introduced. And based on this last sermon we heard, part of what God wants us to do is to ask ourselves what we're building, a house or our homes. And then if we're building the right things after we question ourselves, God wants us to be able to take something like this and pass it on to someone else. According to what Skip had to say, as I looked at some of those questions, I had to question my priorities because everything he brought up in that list has to do with my time. You know, whether it's me worrying about things and wasting time, or it's activities I need to cut short and do other things with, it has to do with my relational capabilities, which, again, is a time issue. And then it talks about how if I can order those three a little differently, that I actually will have something to give to my children or to the other people around me. Now, I'm using that as an introduction because what we're going to talk about and why I put that verse on your table, and that verse we'll talk about just a little bit, is that Jesus, a long time ago, gave us a basic plan for discipling people. He gave us a plan for how to build a church. There's tons of books right now about how to do this. And everybody's telling us, you know, about we have this event, and we have that event. And everybody's got ideas about how we help each other grow. We'll find out in this book, and based on that verse you have in the middle of your table, God says it grows by us doing one thing. Do I listen to him? Your house is built upon what you hear, not how many books you read. And as I say that, I'm not here to bash reading books. I have a few. I remember a gentleman I used to teach the When Good Men Get Angry class, and we get a lot of new believers. The first book he ever read all the way through was the When Good Men Get Angry book. And from there we went to the Bible. Books are good things. God can use it all. But once somebody gets through the book they need to wet their whistle for God's word, his plan is that we focus them on what's God's best. Now, the verse on your sheets is Ephesians. And what I'm going to do, if I find my glasses here, is I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation. You can follow along there, or you can just listen. But it says here, he, meaning Jesus, is the one who gave these gifts to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ, until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature and full-grown in the Lord, measuring up to the full stature of Christ. Then we will no longer be like children, forever changing our minds about what we believe because someone has told us something different or because someone has cleverly lied to us and made the lie sound like the truth. Instead, we will hold to the truth in love, becoming more and more in every way like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Under his direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Father, I ask that you would join us here this morning, that you would help each of us to listen to what you have to say. I pray, Father, that as you lay out your principle and your purpose and your plan, that we would buy into it. Many of us, the life of the last few years has not been easy. Some of us, the last few weeks have been incredibly difficult. And it's just like you, a Father who loves us so dearly. Like the fathers in here, you simplify things when things get complex. You reduce us and sometimes our situations to the irreducible minimums so that we can see you clearly. And I pray this morning that you might utilize your word and this man to talk about your plan. In your son's name, amen. Set the toolbox down. This is simple, and why I keep emphasizing that is some of you have seen me the last few years. You know, first I had a cast on my, had my knee replaced, and I had some real fancy crutches, and it was really great. I love the sympathy. You know, it's kind of why I do these things, you know, I replace my knee and stuff, and of course the pain is just a sidebar, you know, But it's really nice to have people always talking to me and asking me how I feel, you know. We men, you know, we need constant reassurance. So recently I had my right shoulder worked on, and all those fun years of coaching baseball and climbing rocks. And, you know, as Paul says, the tent wears out, and so I had to have that worked on. You know, it's interesting, this time different than my knee. The whole knee thing took a long time. It was real slow in developing, but this shoulder thing, this is kind of fun because after the first 8 weeks of them stretching me and pulling me and torturing me, this week I got to do strengthening stuff. Now, what's really cool about that is yesterday for the first time I got to do a girl push-up. I mean, on my knees and stuff, I did three. Now, this way, now, I know, but I just tell you that it is so cool sometimes to start over and then to see God work with you. And how those things that, I mean, when you used to crank off 50, 60, 70, one arm, right arm, this arm, then, you know, three girl push-ups, and I'm like, I'm ready to go. This is cool. Now, I can tell you, too, that I'm a little sore. I actually get to do wall push-ups, too. Now, those really make me feel good because I can do 30 of those, you know, where you kind of stand and do this thing, but... All that to say, God lays out a very simple plan here in Ephesians. And the plan has to do with, he gave some men to teach and shepherd his church. Most of you in here are leaders of some sort. I recognize a lot of the faces. Don't know all of you. But his plan is, he gave some. Some of these, like the one he gave us, the main one, is an incredible teacher. And as I say that, this is not a Skip Heitzig meeting. This is about God's plan. For you to grow, for you to overcome some of the things you're facing, for you to get through the storm you're in right now, the only thing God wants you to do is listen to what comes out of the pulpit. Because that's his plan. When things are hard, all those books back there are cool, but I'm not going to read them because more than likely I'm distracted or I'm in pain or whatever your situation is. Last Friday night I went to a wedding rehearsal, and at 8:30 as I leave, I get a text and my 26-year-old is in the emergency room. We never count on things like that. And that is why God wants you to have a place to come back to where doing girl push-ups is cool to you. Sometimes we have to start over. All the books that you guys are going through and all the ones you're going to read are incredible books. Satan's trick, though, and Solomon tells us, is of the writing of books, there is no end. You can multiply knowledge all you want. If you never apply what God himself is trying to teach you from the pulpit, you missed his best. You don't have to read those. He wants you to read his word. He calls his son the living word of God. It is that simple, but it's also that hard. It's interesting that he gives pastors here to do something that a man named J. Vernon McGee in the 70s, you know, he had this crazy southern accent. And I thought it was kind of weird because he ran a church in L.A. But he says that we have the church in reverse. I'm not supposed to be doing the things that people think we're supposed to be doing. The home visits, you know, helping feed the homeless, and you know, we go down the list, all those things. You are. Let me read a quote to you. This is from John Stott. New Testament, the New Testament concept of a pastor, the pastor, is not of a person who jealously guards all ministry on his own, keeps it in his own hands, and successfully squashes all lay initiatives. But the pastor is one who helps and encourages all God's people to discover, to develop, and exercise their gifts. Again, in Ephesians it says, God gives us people to equip the people to do the work. In the one you have on the table, New King James, it says service. The first time that word shows up is with Stephen. Stephen was one of the volunteers to wash tables and feed the ladies so that Peter and the other guys could teach and pray. Every one of you is called to service. Every one of you is a minister. Now here comes the challenge. Nasty word, will we submit to this idea? It's not my idea. It's God's. Our lives, our growth, our maturity, according to these verses, is based upon my capability to submit to what God presents. This is a very simple plan. He teaches. I pick out what stands out to me each week. I apply it. You don't know how many weeks I use it in the counseling room. The very thing that God has nailed in me becomes my point of reaching the people who come to see me. Years ago, 25 now, I think, Penny drugged me to this church, and I had no idea about how to read the Bible, or how to be a Christian, how to pray, how to do any of those things. But since I'd been to college and I knew how to take notes, I thought, well, I'll just sit there and write down a few things and see what happens. Well, 3 or 4 months later, I become a Christian, and part of that was just out of pure anger. I really wasn't into it. I just wanted to keep my wife. But I remember sitting one day at lunch with a man named Scott Lardner, who owns Rocky Mountain Stone, and he was going through some tough things. His wife had borne twins, and one of them had died. And we were sitting in this old place, it's not round anymore, Stakesmith. He looked at me and he goes, "What's up with you?" And I don't know, what do you mean? He goes, "It's like you've got this like stupid grin on your face. Like, what's going on?" And I said, "Well, I've become a Christian." And he just stopped me. He goes, "You mean you're full of the Holy Spirit?" And I go, "Well, no, I just became a Christian." And he starts talking, and then he's crying and Stakesmith, and he asked me what I thought, and I go, "You know, Scott, I have no idea what you're going through." And I said, "But this weekend in church, I learned that." And he looked at me and he goes, "How did you know I needed to hear that?" I don't know anything, Scott. I just went to church. Paul Tripp says that God never gets a wrong address. You don't have to be a counselor to counsel. You have to be obedient. If you are listening on the weekends and applying what you hear, and I'm not saying 10 things, one thing. Paul said, this one thing I do. If you hear the one thing that God is pushing the button in your life about, and you work it out, you go, okay, Lord, I accept the challenge. I'm going to try to change this. You will be surprised how God will use that. The other thing you're going to be surprised about is application, once you apply it. Solomon says, knowledge is one thing. Applying it turns it into wisdom. When it's wisdom, Satan can't steal it. As long as you keep things out here and you just absorb lots of knowledge, it's up for grabs. But if you work it into your life, if you challenge yourself to go, how do I do this? You know, what do I need to do to be kinder at home? I mean, this sermon was pretty tough. You know, I was looking at those first few questions, and how has God gifted me to meet the needs of His people? How am I exercising or honing these gifts according to God's plan? Am I building something He doesn't want built? Now, you know, when I first started out, if I would have, somebody asked me those questions, I would have looked at them kind of, you know, with this dumb look on my face like, I don't even know how to answer these questions. I don't even know what they mean. But as time went on and I had a little bit of guidance, I discovered that there are answers to these questions. And more importantly, I only have to answer one of them, the one that stands out to you. We'll notice in Ephesians that Paul says you're equipped to do something that Jesus wanted done, and that is to bring together His people. When it says knit together, it is something that is an ongoing process. Many of us think that God can't use us because of our past. God can't use us because we don't speak. God can't do. And you just fill in the blank. We all have so many excuses. But that's not what His book says. And that's why it's so important to take God at His word. Often, and I'll say this for me, I remember when I first became a Christian, I spent the first year or two thinking I had to catch up to Penny. I mean, she'd become a Christian at 9. Of course, she hid that fact from me until after we got married. And the next thing I know is, you know, I'm reading and going, you know, I don't know how to do this. And then But God did something for me that I know He wants to do for you. And that is, one day I just thought to myself, you know, you say I'm the leader, then please help me be one. Because I don't know how to take care of her. In that one simple act, it wasn't about what Penny knew and what I didn't know. God did something in me that made her safe, and she stayed. It's not about money. It's not about all the books you read. It's about, have you let Him change you? Because God says this pattern will. If you allow God to speak into your life through the simple pattern of great teaching, every week you'll have one thing to face. And it may be hard on you in the beginning, but it will turn into one point of encouragement for someone else. Maybe one point of strength, one point of peace. God doesn't want any of you lost. You see, this pattern is here because He loves you so much. Every song Stuart sang was about His concern for your lives. And it's hard to discern how much He cares about us when we have no way to gauge it. And He's saying, pay attention each week. I'm going to blow your mind. I'm going to equip you on Saturday or Sunday for something you face on Wednesday, like I did then in that conversation with Scott Lardner. And all of a sudden, well, it's true. God does talk to me. Some of you know me. Penny's brother is actually here. He probably He probably knows better than anyone in this room that I don't deserve to stand up here. But that's the point. God has a plan for each of you. In these verses, the principle is, if the pastors teach, if the pastors do their job, and I listen, God changes me from the inside out. I give him permission. You can talk to him. He can't give details, but he knows better than anybody that I'm one of God's miracles. Many of you think you are too. You know what you used to do. You know what you got away with or are still getting away with. And unless I'm mistaken, not one of you has a lightning mark on him. Not one. This pattern is about his grace. One man even says these are God's grace gifts, these top four or five, so that we can teach you about how gracious he is, so that you won't give up, no matter how hard it is. No matter what condition you're in right now, you have the capability to do something that Jesus Christ did for us. Forgive. That power never leaves your hand. As I read through this, I thought to myself, the test for me, for pastors, is, am I equipping people? Are we teaching the folks what they need to learn? Now, many of you know that I don't get up here much. I'm a lot more comfortable in my office, and that's probably where most of my teaching takes place, according to Skip. I love counseling. I love talking to people. I love discipling people. Now, as I say that, there's another verse in Matthew that says, we're all supposed to be doing that. He says, go into all the world and make disciples. Teach, preach. Didn't say perform miracles. Teach other people. Every one of you are equipped to do that. If you've applied something in your life, you now have one thing to teach somebody. The test for the folks is, are you serving? Doesn't say leading. It says, are you serving? Every one of us that is a Christian serve out of our love for Jesus Christ. And because this is his pattern. We teach, you serve, you do the work, you help, you watch our backs. That's also how you tell when you decide where to go to church. Some of you aren't from Calvary. You find a place where you're getting fed every week. You're getting equipment. You're getting challenged. You're getting what this book says you should be getting. Excuse me. I can't speak for you, but there are many weeks that what I hear from the pulpit is about all I can handle, depending on what else is going on in my life. And he knows what's going on in yours. This is the way he would like it to be done. Some of you have heard me beat this drum before. And why I'm beating it again is that we are, I want to say going back, but not really going back. We're rediscovering the pattern in God's Word. We don't need 40 or 50 ministries. What we need are lots of connect groups. By that I mean the vision of the church, the upreach, the inreach, the outreach, which you as leaders should memorize. It says that we are a people. We're pursuing the God who's passionately pursuing a lost world. And we do this together. Okay, now that implies we've got to hang out a little bit. We do this together through worship, by the Word, and to the world. That's the vision for this church. That's a biblical vision. In these small groups, every one of you can experience upreach, worship, inreach, the relevance of God's Word, how to apply what you heard, and the last one, outreach. One of the other things Penny did to me a long time ago, and she drugged me to a home fellowship with people she knew. I didn't know any of them. You laugh. I heard you laughing. That's it. But you know, that's why we have ladies in our lives, because they take us places I'd never go. So she takes me to this home fellowship, and I was so fortunate. I was very reticent in the beginning, kind of held back. It became this place, these 10 or 12 couples that to this day are still my friends. Penny and I got our first house in that time. These people showed up and helped us paint and tear down walls and do dirty, nasty stuff. When I had my arm worked on a few weeks ago, somebody called me and said, "Hey, can I come over Saturday?" And I go, "You know, I'm not very good company." And he goes, "I'm not coming to see you. I'm coming to mow your lawn." These groups are about us discovering how God wants to use us. It's about us actually being, bless you, being used. Because as large as this church is, you're not going to get used much if nobody knows who you are. But in these small groups, you can be. And again, the people who lead them are just instigators. That's what Skip said to me years ago. And you'll not find the gift of instigation in this book. He says, "I have it." I don't know what that means, but all we're to do is take that list that we prepare each week. Neil or I will do it. We send it out. You already have it prepared, and you go over it. And again, not because we're trying to control everything. We're trying to stick to God's plan. I don't know if you're keeping track, but out of the last 13 or so messages, we've had 7 of them about trials. I want to tell you that me presenting this is not more one more wave of change. This is not one more thing to knock you off your feet. This is the life preserver. This is the calm in the storm. When things are so hard in your life that all you can hold on to is the one thing coming from what you hear this weekend, that's exactly the way God wants it. So many of us stagger under the weight of all the things we're not doing, the books we're not reading, all the comparisons. "Oh, I wish I was like this. I wish I..." You know, we don't have to do that. All we have to do is pay attention to what we hear, one thing, and apply it each week. And you'll begin to discover how concerned God is for your life, because He always keeps His word. Please remember again, I know I'm repeating myself, this is God's plan, not mine. The best Bible study you can hear every week comes from the pulpit. And until you apply it, and this is one of Oswald Chambers' quotes, until you learn what he pointed out to you this week, he won't teach you anymore. So you can read every book on that table over there and have lots to talk about, but until you apply what you heard this week, you don't go any further. Because God wants you to learn this. One thing at a time, he tells us. One step at a time, it says in Proverbs. Again, he wants to see his sons make the grade. He wants to see you be successes. Even when we fail, that's a step forward. I know we hear the term backsliding. I mean, if you're trying and you screw up, guess what? You just learned something you're not supposed to do. God views that as progress. So many of us focus on what we can't do as opposed to what God says we can. I don't know how much time I have, so I'll speed this up. The pattern in Ephesians, this principle, leads to a purpose. And the main purpose is God wants our maturity. He says we will experience His unity. We're going to grow in knowledge. We actually will become perfect. Now, before you think it just means complete. Now, I will also tell you, based on the word he uses here, that every one of you has a different version of perfect. Your version and mine isn't the same. He says he completes you because he's created you to do a specific thing, and he brings you to a place where you actually get to do it. That's what that means. The other thing that this plan gives us in the purpose is we're no longer tossed about. He gives you stability in the midst of all the tough things you're going through. He stabilizes your life. you begin to, particularly when something gets hard, instead of going, oh no, not one more thing, this crazy thing starts happening in your head where you begin to anticipate, I wonder what he's going to do this time. And that is crazy. But after you see him meet you in the middle of what you're going through time and time again and simply encourage you week after week, you begin to believe that his plan's true. One person says, the most loving thing we can do is to obey God. This weekend we heard about building houses or building homes. On Wednesday night, I don't know how many of you were here, but if you come twice a week and then maybe end up going to a home fellowship, something will begin happening that's going to freak you out. God repeats himself. You'll hear it on Saturday or Sunday. Wednesday night, you're going to go, really? And there it is again. Just so you will come to believe that every weekend, he puts tools, like are in that box, up on the stage, and one of them fits your hand. But you have to be listening, and you got to walk up and pick it up, and then figure out what to do with it. One of the other things he does here that's pretty important, this maturing process, provides us unity and confidence. He changes the way I talk. It says here, I learned to speak the truth in love. One person says, truth without love is brutality. Love without truth is hypocrisy. Love the truth, live the truth, speak the truth. If we believe that's true, what we're about to see happen is the body change. I no longer have to worry about what you're doing or what you're doing. I just have to worry about what I'm doing. As I listen, am I changing? The principle, the purpose, the plan. None of you is insignificant. If you are listening to the teaching and you're asking the right questions, what do I do with this? How do I do this? You're right smack in the middle of his will. As Mr. Lutzer put it a few weeks ago, you get into the boat. You know that Jesus told you to get into the boat. So you're in his will. You get in the middle of the lake. There's a storm. You forget that he told you to get into the boat. And you forget that he told you he'll meet you on the other side. This plan is kind of like that. Every week we're reminded that we're in the boat, that he's right at our side, he's never left us, even when we doubt, even when we wonder what's going on. And then he reminds us, hey, I'm going to meet you on the other side of this. All of you are called, all of you are useful. Every one of you. Simple. The pastor teaches. I listen, I pick up my equipment, and begin to anticipate how it's going to get used. In 2 Timothy 3, it says, he wants to equip us. The man of God is equipped. I want you to think about this. Does your personal testimony house tiny steps of obedience that you can map? Things you've discovered as you've listened to the people who've taught you. Because it should. You can't be excited about God. You can't be passionate about him if you don't believe he's active in your life. There's no way to find out. This is a framework for discovering that he wants to use you. He wants to grow his church. He's still growing his church. Focusing on the pulpit is a good way for us to discover God's best. I want you to think about it and maybe just give a few more minutes to what happens on the weekend. Think about what's said this weekend. Think about what's said last weekend. and see if you don't begin to notice a pattern, how God will repeat himself week to week, how he'll challenge you, he'll encourage you, so that you can encourage somebody else. Please remember, this is not about beating you to a pulp. This is about teaching you how to do the simple push-ups all over again. Sometimes in the storm, we forget we're useful. We forget we've been equipped. We begin to doubt. We get scared. And he comes along and says, wait. And he walks right across the water to you and says, hey, come on, just get out of the boat a little bit. I'm going to teach something new. This might be, for you guys, for some of you, just getting out of the boat a little bit, trying something different. Warren Wiersbe says, spiritual unity is not something we manufacture. It's something we already have in Christ. We, leaders, need to protect it and maintain it. In his eyes, you're already unified because that's part of his gift to us. John 17, that's what he prayed about. Make them like us, Father. Make them like us. And you see, Satan tricks each of you into thinking that you are alone. You fit nowhere. That is not what God says. You all have a place in his kingdom. And he just asks you to serve in it. There's a story years ago of a church that was bombed during World War II. And the people of the church, it was an old stone building in Strasbourg, Germany, went back to it. And when they got there, they found out that the whole roof was caved in. And they go inside, and they had this incredible statue that had been commissioned of Jesus. And it was him with his hands outstretched like this. But a beam had fallen from the roof and sheared off both hands. And so they consulted someone to fix it, a sculptor, and they got some prices, and the sculptor says, I won't charge you for doing it. I'll do it. So the church leaders got together and talked about it and decided they were going to leave the statue alone because every time they went in, it reminded them of what they were supposed to be doing. We're his hands. We're his feet. We're his mouth. As far as I know, it still stands today. Each of you, God has this great desire to use you. Keep it simple, particularly when it's incredibly hard. Don't weigh yourself down with all the things you're not doing. Do the first things. If you can't make it to church, listen. Figure out what the one thing it is that he wants to teach you, the one thing to encourage you to lift your chin a little bit up so you see something other than the dirt, because that's his desire. Father, as we all think about how to connect, and you know that we men aren't too good at it, our wives are so much better, I pray that you would help us to be your tools, that we would believe we have purpose, we would believe that you have a plan, and we would believe, Lord, that if we just follow your principles, we will grow up into somebody that causes others to look your way. You have been so kind to us and so gracious. Please help us to simplify our lives so that we can see you act on our behalf. Watch over these men for me. Help each one of them to ask the right question and to see you act on their behalf. In your son's name, amen.